So a study from Boston College estimates that $30 trillion is going to transfer from baby boomers to their children over the next couple of decades. Now, that is an almost impossible number for a human to wrap their head around. But just to give you a little bit of context, it's actually the size of the current US debt. So that is an extreme amount of wealth that will transfer from one generation to the other and will have flow-on impacts for their children as well. Welcome to Checks and Balances, brought to you by Partners Life. I'm Michael Vincent. This is James Blair. And this week, why inheritance will ruin your kids' lives.
Okay, so this is one I've been wanting to do for a while.
You won't shut up about it.
So as a financial advisor, I get phone calls all the time where I go, hello, and they go, yo, Jimmy, and like, what up? And they're like, I got money. I'm like, great. And they're like, not really so great. My parents are dead. And that's like, receiving inheritance is a weird thing because it's an incredible opportunity to fast track your financial plan, to do things you haven't been able to do. But obviously you're dealing with the passing of a parent. And while I joke, obviously, very sad and a lot of moving parts. But the big thing I run into all the time.
Well, there's one less moving part.
It is true. The big thing that I run into all the time is inheritance can actually destroy families a hell of a lot of the time. So we're going to explore that idea today that when a lump sum gets left behind, there's so many different examples of conflict between families. And if you think about maybe your siblings or your kids, if they're old enough, and go, if money was to be left behind, what are their situations? What are their personalities like? Are they going to still talk to each other at the end of it? So we're going to talk about it, and then we're going to give you some exactly, you know, what you can do to make sure you're not one of these statistics.
Yeah, and there's no surprises here. A lot of it is going to come down to communication, the way that things are communicated, when they're communicated, how they're communicated can make a real difference in exactly how all of this plays out.
A study from Boston College estimates that $30 trillion will be transferred from baby boomers to their children over the next couple of decades. Mike, how can anybody comprehend $30 trillion?
Yeah, well, boomers probably can because they bought everything for like $1.50 and now it's worth like $6 million. So they probably can comprehend that. I think it's everyone else who can't buy anything who's going to be on the receiving end that can't really comprehend it.
I've actually thought about a great new series where we walk along the streets with a microphone and go up to old people and go, how much did you buy your first home for? Oh. And they're like 30 nickels.
And then how many do you own? They're like 50.
Yeah. So there's going to be a lot of money over the next couple of decades transferring from baby boomers to their kids, which is going to most likely lead to a hell of a lot of conflict, right? The lawyers always win.
Yeah, the lawyers do always win in this instance. But I think it is really important when we're thinking about that transfer around like the mechanisms behind it, how it's done, again, about the communication piece, because you know, we've all seen it. We've seen it professionally. I've seen it personally. You know, money splits families up when they're not on the same page. And, you know, we see it quite a bit. And it's not even when people are receiving gifts, but, you know, someone comes to us and says, oh, I got this amazing opportunity. It's a deceased estate. That the family just want to get rid of it. They go through this whole negotiation process and there's, you know, there'll be four kids and three of them are like, that's a great price for the house. Let's just get this thing gone. Like, it's fine. And one of them's like, nah, no way. We're not selling this thing for less than $5 million. I'm like, it's a one-bedroom flat in bloody Beach Haven, mate. Like, you ain't going to get that. And it's that, it just creates that conflict. And that can be for a number of reasons, right? Sometimes someone, that's the last emotional attachment that they have to the parents. Sometimes they didn't, you know, may not have treated their parents very well. And they're thinking that this is going to somehow, you know, if they get more money, it's going to, you know, remediate that. So there's a number of different reasons. And when you're dealing with emotions and finance, things go south very quickly.
Yeah. It might also be like that person needs more money because of their own situation, which when you got different kids in different situations can, and also like spouses involved and, you know, kid, you know, then there's their kids and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I always say the same thing every time when someone's like, no, like this deceased estate, we're negotiating, it's going to be done in like a week. I'm like, you just come back to me when it's done, mate. Because it's like, it takes so long.
Inheritances, like I mentioned before, they're quite odd because they are like one of the saddest moments in your life. But like I said before, can lead to one of the biggest opportunities. Maybe you've got some debt. Maybe you've never been able to buy your home. Maybe it's going to allow you to help your kids. Maybe it's going to accelerate your plan, whatever it might be. But so at the same time, you're thinking about, I'm going to receive some money and I don't know what that looks like in terms of what I can do with it. You're also dealing with, you know, the loss of one of the closest relationships you'll have in your life, right?
Yeah.
I mean, neither of us have lost a parent, but like the passing of a parent while having an opportunity must be a very hard thing to get your head around.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's where kind of the divide comes in, right? And if this isn't communicated effectively while the parents are still alive, it can really start to, you know, cause a divide between your siblings and a lot of conflict. And, you know, is that the way that your legacy wants to be remembered, right? Is it you know, about me as a person and the things I did, or is it about we now don't talk to our siblings because we had a scrap over this money?
Yeah, yeah. And you think about it, right? So your parent has passed away. Surely when somebody passes away, the family comes together and they support each other. They're there and grieving for each other. But that's not what's happening a huge percentage of the time, right? You know, people are selfish. There's family divides. They're surprised by the wills. Finding out somebody has taken advantage of a parent while they're alive is quite common. So the amount of times I see a scenario where a client tells me, I've just found out my brother's taken $200,000 from my dad and they're like the enduring power of attorney. That kind of stuff ruins families. And fighting over who gets what positions where there's a bit of an emotional tie. And if we're starting to talk about blended families, which I'll talk a little bit about more later, that can get even more messy.
Yeah. And so when we're looking at the inheritance, people often think cash, right? Like when we talk about that, just think, I got some cash, it was put in the bank, you know, we can divide it up evenly. That's not usually how it works. There are usually assets involved, like houses, like, you know, contents, you know, things like that, jewelry, things that have an emotional kind of attachment to them. And dividing that up in a way that is equitable and fair, if there's no will in place, can be an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, the term equitable, like how do you even define that, right? And then say you got two or three kids, it's, you know, possible they're all absolute winners and they're doctors and lawyers and entrepreneurs and doing all these things. But usually there's a bit of a split between, you know, financially where all the kids are at. Maybe someone's gone through a divorce, needs more help. How are those things, you know, dealt with through the will?
Yeah.
There's a study from 2012 that found that 70% of siblings have conflict over money after the death of a parent, which is a really high percentage, but I'm also not that surprised.
Yeah, it's not surprising. Actually, my next door neighbor, when I was growing up in Red Beach, his dad was a maxillofacial surgeon, and like had farms, stations in the South Island, like a whole lot of assets everywhere. And he had some mental health issues, so he was, you know, required to be at the pharmacy by 10 a.m. every day to take his medicine in front of people, or like, you know, all hell broke loose. So he and his dad passed away, who was this surgeon who lived next door to us. He got the house, he got a station in the South Island, and I think a farm somewhere in the North Island as well. And his siblings just absolutely came for him because they were like, he can't manage it. This isn't right. You know, we didn't get this. And I think it was one of those situations where they were like, he's just going to absolutely squander it all away. You know, he doesn't deserve any of this. And it was a real serious scrap for quite a long time, actually. I don't know how much money it cost them or anything like that, but it was quite intense, yeah.
Yeah, and coming back to...
He also bought a Hummer. Quite randomly, a Hummer just showed up one day.
The year was 2001.
He bought a Hummer, a Honda, like NSX supercar, like all this other. He's like, it was out the gate, yeah.
Yeah, so financially astute.
Yeah.
My
he boarded the house up. He bought like 15 like alarms for it. It was like absolutely insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was crazy.
My stepfather, who's from Iran, is adamant. I will inherit a alpaca farm in Costa Rica. Now, I honestly am not lying to you. He has told me at least half a dozen times that if I go to Costa Rica, there will be an alpaca farm there for me to inherit. Now,
what are we doing? Why aren't we in Costa Rica? This would be so much fun.
I imagine
so scrap the destination wedding. We're going to destination Costa Rica.
Yeah, imagine that.
Where is Costa Rica? Someone tell me.
South America?
South America?
Yeah.
Oh, let's do this.
Yep. So anyway, watch the space. Maybe Mike and I'll turn up at a packet farm sometime soon. Coming back to the conflict around like all of this. So just adding the pieces to the puzzle, right? So your parent has passed away. Let's just assume it's your parent. You've received a lump sum of money, but then also there's now conflict with your siblings, and maybe you're never going to talk to your siblings again, or the relationship's always going to be burnt. Man, that's emotionally a lot to digest.
Yeah, it is, especially during this time.
Before we move on, we talk all the time about planning and growing our wealth, but protecting that wealth is just as important. That's why having the right insurance in place can help when life goes unexpectedly.
And that's why this episode is brought to you by Partners Life, a New Zealand-operated, award-winning insurance provider with over 300,000 Kiwis insured and 89% of claims paid.
Partners Life understand that having some insurance is better than having no insurance. They have flexible and personalized solutions for any budget or situation.
Check out their website in our show notes below.
The conflict is, like we spoke about before, also made worse by different children being in different financial positions. So some people thinking they really need the money, or a spouse might not be that helpful in the background, kind of bickering and having a bit of dig, trying to get their claws in, getting a little bit of cash. We spoke a little bit about before, but I also wanted just to touch on it again. Inequitable distribution of wealth is a really big thing. And so I had a client when I was working at Westpac, and I vividly remember the branch I was sitting at, the chair I was sitting in as I was talking to this lady. And this lady must have been around 80. And she was saying to me, so we're doing, talking about her money and how it's invested. And one of the actions was, have you updated your will? And she said, yes, I've updated my will. I've decided to give one of my children pretty much like 80% of my total wealth, and there's four children in total. And it's because he's been there for me over the last few years, really supported me over this time.
Smart.
Good return investment, you're suggesting?
Great ROI.
Yeah. And so you can cut that bit and put it together.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking my point. And so I turned around and said to her, I was like, how do you think the other kids are going to react? And she goes, well, I'm not going to be here. It's not my problem. And I was like, well, you could say it's not going to be a problem because you're going to be dead. But when you think about it, surely the relationship between your kids is important. And what you're not just doing what you think might be fair, but you are setting them up for the other siblings to hate the one that clearly you really value the time they spent together. So I was like, if you do want to do that, like, it's your money, you can do whatever you want to do, but there should be at least some communication and going, hey, I'm doing this for Bob for these reasons. You might not like it, but this is what I've decided to do.
At least with Bob ahead of time. If not with everyone else, at least with the one that you're giving more to, so they can say, hey, here's what's happening, and let's start this while Mum's still alive. So if you want to go have a discussion with her, go do it. Don't, have a crack at me.
Yeah, but what are we all afraid of? Conflict. So she was like, nah, I'm not doing that. They can just deal with it. But I just thought, that was probably 10 years ago, and it's always just stuck with me. I'm like, how sad is that going to be that she's trying to do something from a perspective of, I value what you've done for me, but just completely ruining her family dynamics going forward?
Yeah, 100%. So we've talked about, some of the conflicts that can arise from inheritances, how they can arise. We've given some examples about them, but let's get down to it. How can you avoid being one of these families?
Yeah, so the first piece is having a clearly documented will. So if there is no wishes left behind, we're in a really bad starting point, and people will 100% scrap. Yep. Some of that money might end up going to the government. There might be people who have been cut out of your life for a long time that might swoop back and go and take some of that money. And if you're going, how do I find out a little bit of information about a will? We have done an episode with Sean McGurvin, who is a partner at Hague Lyon. Mm. Really good episode to go and check out.
Yeah. I would say the will is so slept on, right? We've talked about it a ton. People do not do it. It's the thing that gets put to the bottom of the list. They clear everything else and they go, no, I don't want to think about my mortality. I'll put that back to the bottom of the list. So it is a really important thing, and it doesn't take a ton of time or a ton of money. Have a listen to the episode. We explain the whole thing.
Yeah. The next point is not just having a will, but talking to your family about the will. So you should have some sort of process where all the important documents are kept somewhere. So if something happened to you, people would know where to find things.
Yeah.
Because it's, far worse to be mourning for somebody, to be grieving, and then to be you know, going, this is an absolute mess. How do I fix all of this? So making sure everything is kept in one place, but then talking to your families about like your finances and what they can expect to happen. So, hey, just so you guys all know, I don't want there to be any fighting, any scrapping. That's not what I want. This is all equally getting distributed. Or I gave Mike $100,000 to get him onto the property ladder, so I'm going to deduct that from the will and slightly higher distribution to the others. Just, I mean, you said it earlier on, just clear communication.
Yeah, exactly. And again, you know, I've given James an alpaca farm because he clearly knows how to run a good business and this thing is going to be booming.
Yeah, alpaca milk, it's a growing market.
Right.
Before we move on to warm inheritance, I want to just spend a little bit more time talking about the wills and especially around blended families.
Mm.
So one thing that we're running into more and more is obviously like a north of 50% divorce rate. People get remarried, their step kids involved, step siblings, all that kind of stuff. One thing I am starting to see quite a bit is in the will, the right for the spouse to continue to live in the house for their whole life.
Yeah.
So that means that instead of, you know, the kids being able to sell the house and get money, they're essentially waiting for the wife to cark it, and then they can take it, and that can lead to some conflict as well. So communicating that's what's in the will, I think, is a really good point, because there is heaps of families probably wondering what is going to happen in this situation. And it is much easier for the person whose money it is to talk about it than the kids to be like to the parents, hey, what's going to happen here? The other thing I run into is instead of just being left the house, the new relationship inherits everything. And instead of the kids inheriting money from the original person who's passed away, that person then leaves everything for their kids. So essentially, you've been completely cut out of the will because all of the wealth has moved to the other side of the family, where you have no bloodline and maybe you're kept out of the will. And that is like absolute carnage.
Because
you can imagine, like, my parent has spent their whole life working towards this thing. You have just taken it all, blah, 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 and it gets very, very messy quickly.
Yeah, and that's really common where things aren't laid out in a will, right? If it ends up in probate or, you know, a new marriage and all of a sudden it just defaults to them, that's when things can start to get really tricky with a blended family. And that creates not just a lot of resentment, but then people start going after the money. Then there's a cost. And it all gets very messy. And again, we said it at the top of the episode, the lawyers always win in these situations.
Yeah. The other piece with the distribution of the wealth and that sort of thing is it's not just about what money you get. It's about if you say get like a smaller portion or however it plays out, it's also got to do with how you might perceive your parent valuing your relationship.
Mm.
So they value the relationship with Mike over me because Mike's getting more. Very like, honestly, the more you think about it, the psychology behind it is interesting. But let's move on, Mike, to a place that you spend a lot of time, which is around warm inheritances. Now, what is a warm inheritance, Mike?
A warm inheritance is when you haven't quite died yet. So you're given the money while you're still alive. And we see this quite often in terms of kids getting deposits for houses or maybe lump sums of their loans paid off. And effectively, this is really, you know, was quite common when people have a financial plan or when they've done pretty well and they've got a bit of spare cash lying down. They sell some assets, downsize, and they go, actually, I'll pay off your student loan or I'll pay this off for you or pay a big lump sum of your mortgage down. So, you know, there's a couple of advantages of this. One, it's very clearly communicated because you're still alive. So there's not really anything you can argue with.
Yeah.
Two, you know, the person gets the enjoyment of actually seeing them use the money and knowing that they've helped them out and seeing the progress that they can make, right? And I think that's a really important thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really big one, right? You get to see your kids go into their first home, or they're able to send their kids to like a certain school.
Or they have a really good holiday in Thailand.
Yeah, whatever it might be. The other thing is, if it's a warm inheritance opposed to a cold inheritance, which is when you're dead, likely they'll inherit the money a lot earlier in their life. So if you think about everybody's living longer, say you live till 90, your kids might be 60 by the time they inherit something. They've already done all the hard work.
Yeah.
They've grinded along, you know, paying down the mortgage, having to manage things while like raising kids, all of that kind of stuff. If you are in the position to do it earlier, it's going to help them far more than like more money on the pile when they're a hell of a lot older.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess the other thing is after that, anything that's left over, that's just a bonus, right? Far less likely to fight about it if everyone has had their distribution earlier in life. It gave them a really good head start. You know, you imagine if half your mortgage got paid off, you know, a couple of years into owning your first house. The absolute light years you would be ahead 5, 10, 20 years down the track because of those compounding returns are completely insane.
Yeah. The last point is...
is our favorite.
Away from warm inheritances. But another thing you can do is just spend all the money.
Yeah.
Like a good financial advisor, which is a really weird concept, a good financial advisor will make sure you die with less money. And that's because all of your money should have purpose behind it. So you're living a certain lifestyle. You're helping the people you care about, which might be a warm inheritance. Maybe you've got some philanthropic endeavors that you're interested in, whatever it might be. Allocate all of your money and spend it. And if it's all gone and you've communicated that well, then that's, you know, it's a life well lived.
Yeah, and it's a weird thing, right? And we often see it with the financial plans where people are very scared to run out of money in their retirement. So they are very fearful of spending it all. When actually, and we talked to Ben Brinkhoff about this, you know, when actually if you run out, you know, or you've got a little bit left and you've done it well.
Yeah, yeah. Some people just have that scarcity mindset where they just Scrooge McDuckett. And I just think about like lots of gold coins and you're sitting on the top of the tower, but you can't take it with you. There's no benefit of having all of that cash. And that's where like having a financial advisor or having a financial plan where you're giving your money purpose opposed to just sitting on it is a really good idea. So to wrap it up, inheritances are very messy. It will screw up a hell of a lot of families. Like we said, like 70% of families are going to have conflict around when somebody passes away. $30 trillion of money getting transferred. It's only going to become a bigger and a bigger deal. So make sure... like the best thing you can do is have conversations with your family. And then if you're not the one with the money, but potentially inheriting it, I think just like a really good starting point is around the having the will conversation.
Yeah.
Show them this episode and go, I want to make sure this is in our family. I don't expect anything, but I want to make sure that, you know, we're all in a good position.
And we're not fine about it.
Yeah, yeah. So some really good actions off the back of that. If you don't, only 50% of us have wills. Make sure to go get a will. Make sure the people that you care about and your family that are around you go get a will as well. And have these conversations to make sure you're not one of these statistics. Thank you to Partners Life. Please subscribe, review, like, and we will catch you next time.
Cheers.